Simon Shinches Sif Aleph. We just introduced the concept of Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis, and we said that the idea is that the first type is basically Kli Shemachdele Issa, but you're not willing to use it. You're worried it'll get ruined if it's used for any other purpose. So because it's expensive or it's miyuchad for something, you're not willing to use it for something else. And that's a Kli Shemachdele Issa. It's a Kli that's Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. And I also mentioned that he brings here in the Dishu that you can even have Kli Shemachdele Issa, that's Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. And that would be something like a grandfather clock or a big clock on the wall or a big cabinet that you weren't willing to move because it might get damaged. And therefore, since you are unwilling to move it because it might get damaged and it's so expensive, therefore it comes Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. And so the Shulchan Aruch carries on. V'hu adin l'kornus shel besomim shemakpidim alav shelo yislach leich. A hammer for besomim, he wants to hammer up during the week. He wants to grind up his spices. So he doesn't want it to get ruined or dirty. Let's say if you would use that hammer to bang a nut and crack a nut, but then your besomim that you crack during the week are going to be nut flavor. So he doesn't want to use it for anything else. So not only it won't get damaged, but it will be dirty or something like that. And that's also Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. Says the Ramah, so here's something interesting. It's something that's designed for schoira, for business. So let me ask you a shaila, an interesting thing. Let's say you have a shop, and you don't usually tap into your shop for personal business. But just this Shabbos, you need something for it. You need something for Shabbos from your shop. I don't know, let's say you own Hadar. Okay, you don't usually take it for personal business. Let's say that was such a case. And you now, this Shabbos, you decided, I need to get an extra bottle of Coke. This bottle of Coke is really miyuchad l'schoira, it's for business. But now I need to take this bottle of Coke because 10 guests just turned up unexpectedly. So what do we say by schoira? So the Ramah seems to be saying that with merchandise that you usually don't tap into for personal goods because you are makpid not to touch them, they become Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. And he also brings on the side here that if you would have, let's say, if you were selling forks, knives, spoons, cutlery, and they were in your house, ready to be sold. Maybe you had a little private business, and you wouldn't usually tap into them. But now, for some reason, you want to. He brings here, the Chazon Ish says, they are Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. Even though, obviously, forks and knives in your cupboard are fine to use. And even, I guess, maybe, let's say you had a Yom Tov set of cutlery. But this Shabbos, you need to go and do Yom Tov cutlery. L'chor, it's also not Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis because you do tap into it. But something that you never tap into for personal use because it's ready to be sold. Or if a person's got their personal tie business and on one Shabbos they decided, no, I just want to use this tie. I'm going to wear this tie myself. That is Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis. Since it's designed for selling and you are particular about it, then you cannot use it. But he brings here an interesting idea also, clothes. If you have a clothes shop, now clothes is something that are resellable because that's what happens all day, Ma'aseh B'chol Yom, that people buy them, they try them on, and they send them back or they take them back. So it could be that if you had a clothes shop or you had some clothes that are ready to be sold, clothes are not Muktzah Machmis Chisaron Kis because you're willing to wear it once and then resell it. It would still be in saleable condition. That would obviously depend on the situation. But if that is possible and feasible, that they would be in resellable condition, if you owned some clothes that were omeid l'schoira, but you could sell them, then that would be okay to tap into. What is, though, very common is if you bought something and you thought it was okay, you thought you could keep this, and then on Shabbos it turns out, you know, it's got a fault. I don't know, you bought a pair of shoes and you notice that they've got the wrong colour or something. It's not what you wanted, it's not what you had in mind. You could use it on Shabbos, it would work for you, but you're going to send it back. You're going to give it back to the shop. So without getting into Choshen Mishpat of can you wear them at all because perhaps it doesn't belong to you, but let's say you can use it from a Gezela point of view. Let's say it's not Gezela to wear it. But what about a Muksa issue? Is that like Omed L'Schora, because you're going to sell it, you're going to give it back to the shop? So he brings here that if it perhaps would get ruined, if you would wear it and there would be a chance you'd lose your money on it, then that would be muksa machmis chisorin kis. If it was a strong chance you'd lose your money and they wouldn't accept your return, that would be muksa machmis chisorin kis, and you could never, let alone wear it, but you can't move it because it becomes muksa. He also brings people that sell esrogim or lulavim, and the particular that they should be handled very carefully, and the omid lischora, so the shabbosos before sukkahs, where there's no inyan of muksa machmas mitzvah, there's no mitzvah around, but it's valuable. Therefore, they can be muksa machmas chisorin kis, because you're particular not to move them about. So that's all included in the Ramah's case of omid lischora. Sif base. Kol kli afilu hu gadol v'choveid harbe lo nispatel shein kli mimenu lo mipnei godlo lo mipnei chovdoi. Any vessel, any kli that's big and heavy, it doesn't lose the shein kli because of its size. Meaning like this, we gave an example before of a grandfather clock. Now a grandfather clock, you're not going to move because it might get damaged when you move it. And because of your hakpada not to move it, you don't want to move it. And that's called muksa machmis chisorin kis. And then there's certain things which are just, I don't mind moving them, but they're just so heavy, I can't do it. You know, if I had five people to help me move it, I'd move it. But I don't have five people helping me. So now let's say, one Shabbos, five people turn up at my house, and I think, well, this is a great chance to move my sofas about. You know, I've now got some helpers around. Those sofas are not muksa machmis chisorin kis. Ah, you've never moved them before. It's not because you're makpid not to move them. They're not going to get damaged if you move them. But they're just so heavy you don't move them. So that's not muksa machmis chisorin kis. That's just heavy. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying in this case. Something that's heavy is not muksa machmis chisorin kis. It doesn't come included like the grandfather clock. Okay, Sif Gimel. Okay, so we get into something called Kli Shemalachto Le'issa now. The next category. What is a Kli Shemalachto Le'issa? Says the Mishnah Brura. Shemayuchedes L'dovah Sha'oso La'asoth B'Shabbos V'afilim Rak Rov Malachto Le'issa Hu Gamkein B'chlal Zeh. A Kli Shemalachto Le'issa has a majority, it's majority of its function is for Issa. So the Shulchan Aruch will give some examples in a second. But what can you do with such a thing? You can move it Mutter L'Taltalo Bein L'Tzorich Gufo or L'Tzorich Makoma. You can move it for if you need the object or if you need its place. So he says K'goin Kornas Shel Zohavim O Shel Napochim, the hammer of a goldsmith or a blacksmith lifts Zerbo Egoizim to break open the nuts. Korodom lachdom bodevela, or some sort of chopping axe to cut up the figs, the cake of figs, or letzorich makoma, if you need to place the place where it is. The hainu shesorkli shdamish v'mokav shakli munach shom, where the kli is now. Let's say it's lying on the chair and you want to sit there. You can indeed move it for that. Umuta. Okay, so I'll come back to that bit. Now, this seems quite simple, but now there's some other. There are other kalim that are not so simple, and we have to decide whether they fall into a klishim lachdu le'issa or they're like muksa machmas gufo. The famous cases to discuss are the case of the fan. The electric fan, when it's off and when it's on. It's two different shilas. When a fan is on and when a fan is off. Now, what's the shila? Let's take a fan that's on. A fan that's on has a miler that you don't need to turn it on because it's on. If you would have to turn it on, that's a whole problem because electricity, it's also to use electricity on Shabbos. So this fan has lots of electricity going round it. So it's got sort of like a reach of klishim alachto le'issa because it's associated with electricity. But on the other hand, you don't need to do any electric activities with a fan. A fan is working on its own. And what or how are you using a fan? You're benefiting from hot air being blown on you. Now, there's nothing wrong with having hot air blown on you. That sounds like klishim alachto le'heta. So a fan, the shiloh is a fan, a klishim lachto leheta, or klishim lachto leissa. Or do we say, because of the electricity in it, it's like even worse than klishim lachto leissa, it's like a flame in itself. So, he brings here that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, poskind, it is a klishim lachto leissa. So that means, what's a nafkamina for us? A klishim lachto le'issa is mutter letzorech gufo. So let's say your fan is pointing the wrong way. If it's a klishim lachto le'issa, you are allowed to move it facing you, which is fine. Similarly, if the air conditioning vents are pointing the wrong way, or the right way, depending how you like your air conditioning, so you can move them on Shabbos because that's like a klishim lachto le'issa, and a klishim lachto le'issa you can move letzorech gufo. Or a fan, let's say you've got a fan in the room that's on and it's in the way and people can't get past it, then you're allowed to move it for letzorech makomo. The stick at the top. Exactly, you could just stop them. Yeah, that thing, the knob at the back that you lift up and down.
Yeah,
why not? It's mechanical. It doesn't affect the electric, does it? I think it's just on a. You know more of it than me.
I
always thought you can. It's not. It's all mechanical. I guess so. I don't think it affects the electricity. I don't think it affects the electricity. Exactly. It's more magal. Because it's a kli that's designed for use and it's designed to be moved, therefore, it can be moved. Letzorech makomo and letzorech gufo. Which means... No, that's something else. If that's like a ner, a candle that was used, bein shmoshes. So a flame is not a kli. See, a candle really perhaps could be a kli shemalachto le'issa because it's designed for lighting. The problem is a flame is worse than a kli shemalachto le'issa. A flame is muksa machmas gufo because it's not like a kli. It's like a stone. It's useless. You can't move a flame. You can't interact with a flame. So a flame is like a stone, it becomes muksa machmas gufo. And therefore, a candle that was a light, being a shmoshes, the candle now becomes a bossis to the flame. Everything, but it's all extends out. Everything goes all the way down to your tray, becomes a bossis. So therefore, a candle that was never lit could be a klishim alachto le'issa. A candle that was lit is worse, it becomes a bossis to a kli, to muksa machmas gufo, and it can't be moved.
Why is it in
brackets? It's the remark, I don't know why it's in brackets. He's telling you a kli shem lachta le'issa that was a light before a bein shmoshes becomes worse. Anyway, Gidon, you learnt Reish Ayin Tes, I didn't. So you should know. I don't know. I think that's the idea. Saying that this is not a kli shem lachto le'issa. If something was a flame, a light, bein shmoshes, it's worse than a kli shem lachto le'issa. Okay, so that's... Now, that's all very good according to Rav Moshe, that it's a klishim lachta le'issa. Or even if you would say better, it's a klishim lachta le'heta. But he brings here from a Shevet Halevi that a fan which has got electricity going through it is like got a flame inside it, and therefore is actually worse, and it's like muksam machmas gufo. Now that is an astounding chiddush, because why should electricity be like a flame? I mean, Bishlama, if you have electricity going through a filament, an old-fashioned bulb, so therefore you can say the electricity is like a fire and it's like a flame, and therefore it's muksa machmas gufo. But why should electricity going through a regular utensil, a fan or an air-conditioning machine, why should that come considered like a flame going through it? I don't know. But I think the Minag Olam is that they are lenient in moving fans. I don't know what other people do, but I think the Minag Olam is to be makel in moving fans.
Is it the same with a lamp?
No. A lamp is more chomel. It could be more chomel because it's got an electric... Because it's like a flame inside. No, a kosher lamp is designed that you move the cover.
Could you actually move the base?
Yeah, you don't move the bulb. It would depend on the Shiloh whether an electric implement that's hot is like a flame in terms of muksa.
It
could be more machmir. But again, it might not be. It might be the same as a fan. It might be just the same as a fan. It's the same machlokas. Exactly. That's a big kasha. I saw that brought down. Same question, exactly the same question. They asked that question on this opinion that if you can't move it, why is it that everybody moves watches and everybody moves clocks on Shabbos and nobody thought any other reason not to, and yet why should it be different to move a fan or something? Exactly. So in Lichau it's simpler to say you can move it.
Maybe because the clocks originally were wound up.
So what? Minhag Oseinu, and therefore, what, Lakula? Therefore, now we can move in. Minhag Mevatel Halacha. Okay. Now, the other shaila is, if a fan is off. If a fan is off, it becomes perhaps more problematic. Because a fan that's off has no heter. It's a klisha melachto le'issa, but it's a special type of klisha melachto le'issa. It's a klisha melachto le'issa that's got no permissible purpose on Shabbos. Because a fan that's on, you can use for a permissible purpose of having air blown at you. But a fan that's off is a klishim lachta le'issa with no permissible purpose. So if you see the very nice, the art scroll, Rav Simcha Bunim's Muksa on Shabbos, it's got a very long piece about this. It's a special type of klishim lachta le'issa. Klishim lachta le'issa that has no heter purpose on Shabbos. There's a machlokis in the poskim whether that is still a klishim lachta le'issa or it's muksa machmas gufo. The nafgamina is if you can move a fan that's off. If a fan that's off, if it's a klishim lachta le'issa, you can move it letzorech makomo. If it's muksa machmas gufo, you can't move it. Okay. Now, that's... Again, letzorech gufo is if you need the object to do a job for you. Let's say the hammer... It's gufo means it's... No, it means it's guf.
Gives you cool down.
No, I didn't mean it like that, though. I meant gufo, the object, the guf of the object provides you a purpose. So a hammer, you can use it for its purpose. You can use it hammering out nuts on Shabbos. And the Sech Mekoma is obvious, right? Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Umutalo little misham o lahanicho be'ezem mokem shiyitza. If this hammer is lying on the chair that you want to sit on, you might think that you have to pick it up and immediately put it down the first place that you come to. That's out the way. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's not so. If there's a heter to pick up the hammer from the chair that you want to sit on, you can take it all the way to your toolbox and put it there. That's fine. The Mishnah Berurah then has a shaila, very interesting shaila, of what happens if you pick up muksa by mistake on Shabbos. Are you allowed to then move it to wherever you want, or do you have to put it down in the first possible place? So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mogen Avraham held it was mutter if it's a cliche melachta le'issa that you picked up by mistake when you shouldn't have. So the hammer wasn't not bothering anybody and you picked it up on Shabbos. According to the Mogen Avraham, you can move it to your toolbox once it's been picked up. He says that the Graz Cholak, and he says that there's no heter. Since you weren't entitled to pick it up in the first place, you have to put it down as soon as you remember at the first possible instance. Then the Shulchan Aruch carries on. Aval mechamel atzeil, dahainu she'ein atzorech lataltle, elem p'nei she'yori she'yishova she'yigonev shom osu. You are not allowed to move a klishim lachta le'issa to protect the dover ha'osa, to protect the hammer. If the hammer is in a place where it could get stolen, you're not allowed to move it directly to protect it. So you can move it, you can decide that you have a nut to crack and you can pick it up and crack a nut and then put it down, but simply to take it in a place to protect it is osa. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that you can kick it out the way. You're allowed to kick muksa or move muksa with your elbow or with your body in an unusual way, even for the protection of that muksa object. So you might sometimes see in shul a pen, let's say up here. There's sometimes pens lying on the floor up here. So you're allowed to kick the muksa out the way for your own, for whatever reason you like. That's as long as there's a reason to do it, you're allowed to just move it out the way with your foot. Okay, so that's the Shulchan Aruch. Says the remark, Kol muksa einu osa ela betil tulo. Muksa is about moving. Aval binagia ba'alma she'ena menadado shore. But if you're only going to touch it, and touching it is not going to move it, it's fine. So let's say you're outside on the street, and are you allowed to touch a car on Shabbos? That's your car, let's say, or you know they don't mind you touching their car. So, yeah, that's fine, because you're not going to move the car. It's unlikely you're going to move the car. So, therefore, you're allowed to touch it. You're allowed to touch an oven. You're allowed to touch whatever, if you can rest on the oven on Shabbos, even though an oven is muksa, but you're not going to move it. So there's no problem of touching that doesn't move. You can touch the candles, that's not going to move it. And similarly, if you have a something that's permissible lying on a dover muksa, you can move the dover heta. And we don't say that perhaps you might move the dover issa. What about blowing away muksa? Let's say there's a pen on the table. Do I have to use my elbow? No, you can blow it off. Blowing it is also called indirect. As long as you're not using it with your hands, it's not called directly moving it, and you can blow it away. Okay? Finish the Sif Gimel.